We receive so many gifts at this church. So moments ago, I was gifted with two lovely bracelets. They are apparently to either because I am kind or to teach me to be kind. It is unclear which one the kids thought I needed. Ben is here working up a new architectural drawing of our space. We receive so many gifts in our church. One of the gifts we participate every Sunday we gather. After the hullabaloo of the kids' time, after the noise of passing the peace and the sermon, we move into this time of quiet gifting each other with prayer. Just a few minutes long, anyone can share any need or news that you want to hold collectively in our hearts, that you want us to offer collectively to God. Cancer, finals, marriage, job loss, death, new baby, whatever needs to be said can be offered up. Last week in worship, Jim Dixon, who's suddenly going to make eye contact with me, he offered a prayer that I don't think I've ever heard out loud before. I know it's been in this space, but I don't think I've ever heard it out loud. And it was beautiful. He said, I don't want to sound arrogant, but as I sit here listening to the news of what so many people are going through, I feel grateful. I feel grateful that right now I'm not living with a terrible diagnosis. That as far as I know right now, I'm okay. I think we've all had that experience as we witness each other in our lives, in our living and our dying, the kind of pain those we know and those whom we love endure, the pain of realizing that this structure of sinew and skin is very fragile. Jim didn't sound arrogant at all. He sounded humble. Because it's very humbling when we become aware of what's coming to us all, and that these brains and these bones, they will fail. I think there's something in this passage about that humbling experience of our bodies and about God. So at the surface level, this story is about a disagreement on what does and does not defile a human body between Jesus and some Pharisees, which was one of the streams of Judaism in his time. Now remember, ever and always, Judaism never has been and is not now homogeneous. And we as Christians have to always be very careful if we're going to draw conclusions about a religion that we're not part of. In this instance, the Pharisees are appalled that Jesus' disciples are not washing their hands before dinner anymore. Jesus scoffs and he says, oh, an external ritual won't protect you from defilement because what defiles you is within. You don't have to worry about the soil under your fingernails, but the dirty deeds, the murder and the lying that begins in your own heart. Now, I think this is a false dichotomy and that they are both right. How many times since news of the Wuhan virus broke have we been reminded to wash our hands because it's such a vital way of preventing disease transmission? Now, I know that the ancient Pharisees did not have germ theory yet, but I don't think they were stupid either. Things from outside the world, things on our hands can hurt our bodies. At the same time, we can agree with Jesus. Rituals can be completely empty. We can participate in the passing of the peace, but still carry war in our heart. Peace be with you. There's someone I want dead. So to me, it's not very interesting, at least today, to think about what they disagree on, Jesus and the Pharisees, but what they're completely united on, which is the centrality of the human body in a life of faith. Going way back further, in our streams of faith that we've inherited. In studying the book of Leviticus, the theologian Tamara Eskenazi says that ancient Hebraic rules, like that of washing hands, is a clear sign that the body is a locus of divine experience. More recently, our Jewish apostle Paul agrees when he writes to the burgeoning ecclesia in Corinth that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. And Jesus' whole ministry is embodied. Part of the good news of Jesus Christ is that Your illnesses are seen. Your hunger must be addressed. And your fatigue demands rest. His message culminates in Holy Week. Consider the theology of the execution. Holiness through Jesus took on the experience of every corporeal, every respiratory, gastrointestinal, adrenal, human experience possible, even excruciating, to be in complete solidarity with us. Or perhaps Jesus reveals that holiness always has and holiness always will be in every human, corporeal, respiratory, coronary, optical human experience, including those that are excruciating. Always. So despite all of our differences over time in these religious traditions, we're agreed that the human body is where we experience God. But it's not just where we experience God. So what I've just described is known in academic circles as theology of the body. God talk about the body. But we can flip those terms and instead do body theology. Talk of God from our bodies. Talk of God from our very bodies themselves. Body theologian Christopher Richardson writes, "We don't have bodies, we are bodies." You see the difference? We're not over here having a body. We are bodies, he claims. And by extension, a contextual theologian named Marcella Outhouse Reed says, "Our bodies speak with the authority of divine revelation." Our very bodies speak with the authority of divine revelation. So rather than kind of empty vessels waiting to take God on, our fingers and our follicles are speaking God. However your body feels sitting on those pew pads, maybe relieved that we have pads on our pews. Your body is speaking God. Smelling the coffee in the parlor, your body is speaking God. Yearning in a physical way for the touch of a parent, a friend, a lover, a child, your body is speaking God. Perhaps. Jesus says there's no sacred food and no profane food because it's all going to end up in the sewer anyway. Our bodies are likewise complicated. How do we know when our hearts are beating prophetically and when they're merely being the muscle that they are, stimulated by electricity? And if Jesus is right and he says that the source of everything that divides and that soils us is in that heart, why would we risk listening to it? How is it that our bodies can be the place where we encounter God and we learn to speak God, but at the same time be the place where we reject God and refuse to tell God's story? For me, part of the answer is here at this table. So Holy Communion, it can be as hollow a ritual as anything else, depending on what we bring to it. But consider what we might receive. Consider what we might receive if we are open to it. We describe as sacramental, meaning a visible sign of God's invisible grace. Ordinary bread, ordinary juice. That there's a sign of God's grace in the context of an ordinary betrayal, an ordinary abandonment. That when we come to this table, we receive in our bodies a reminder that our whole bodies are a part of starvation and plenty. Our bodies are a part of rifts and things that bridge the rifts. When our intention and the grape and the grain intersect, and when it's measured across and against a table open to all, open to so much bigger than this little table, that's when we know what is in us is of us or of God. Measured against that story, measured against our bodies, measured against the hope of the table is how we know if these old and achy or young and energetic, these living or these dying bodies are speaking God. And that includes our dying bodies. Because if these living bodies are thrumming with good news, so are our dying bodies. Our dying bodies speak God as well. Not just the death of the Christ, but the death of every single one of us. Now, we're only going to die once, as far as we know. But God has died many times over. If this is a place where God exists, then God has acquired brain lesions and tremors and addiction. God has been shot and crushed in car accidents. God has gone to sleep in a baby's crib or in a hospice bed and never woken up. If our living speaks God, so does our dying. And what our dying tells us is that God knows what it's going to be like for us. And God will companion our bodies all the way through. Jesus and the Pharisees are right because ritual only matters insofar as it redeems us of what is not godly in us. So if you're moved today after the hymn, come forward and ask, learn, how is God speaking through all of me? My warm feet, my hungry tummy, my distracted mind. And how can I, with all of me, that same hungry tummy and warm feet and distracted mind, speak God? Come forward praying. With this mere body, I hear you. With this mere body, I serve you. In this mere body, I will die with you. And in dying, going beyond this mere body, I know that there is more that is still you. Amen.